And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, today we celebrate Pentecost, the day in which the Church was born into existence through the power from on high, when wind and fire declared that God's Spirit was here. Now, before we go further, I want to address something that is a common misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit, and often creeps into our thinking and consequently in the way that we act as Christians and the way we carry ourselves. The idea that the Holy Spirit arrived for the first time at Pentecost. Now, this is not only misleading, but if you look throughout how God has worked in the history of humanity, it is also unbiblical. The Holy Spirit is eternal, co-equal with the Father and the Son, and he was there in the very beginning. Genesis 1:2 says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." It is that same Spirit that breathed life into Adam. It is the same Spirit that filled Joseph, guided Moses, anointed David, inspired the prophets, and empowered women like Ruth and Esther to risk their lives for God's people. So what changed at Pentecost was not the existence of the Spirit, but the scope and intimacy of his presence in our lives. It is no longer what might be conceived by some, incorrectly, as occasional. It is no longer limited, but now dwelling within all believers. As Jesus told his disciples in the gospel lesson for today, he is with you and will be in you. That is the miracle of Pentecost. So, what does this Holy Spirit have to do with us? What does the indwelling of the Holy Spirit actually mean for us, your family, and your struggles, the things that we go through on a day-to-day basis? Jesus, in the gospel lesson, gives us several roles of the Holy Spirit. The first is the Comforter, or Paraclete. Jesus calls him another helper or comforter. And the Greek word parakletos means one that comes alongside, like a counselor, a coach, an advocate, someone who comes alongside as a friend. So he is not something distant, and he is not silent. The Holy Spirit walks beside us in every season of our life. When we're grieving, he groans with us. When we're confused, he reminds us what Jesus taught. When we feel alone, he assures us, "You are not abandoned." Jesus also, in the gospel lesson, also speaks in verse 26 about the Holy Spirit being the teacher. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Brothers and sisters, if you ever found yourself reading scripture and suddenly a verse lights up like a fire in your heart, let me tell you, it's not because you're clever. It's the Spirit at work. The Spirit goes before us. The Spirit knows exactly what you need to hear, when you need to hear it. The Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and works and molds and shapes us. And that's why the Holy Scriptures are so powerful in our lives, because The Holy Spirit goes before us and speaks to us through them. He doesn't just inform you, he transforms you. And that is when Jesus talks about him being the sanctifier. The Holy Spirit also, in revealing himself through St. Paul, talks about, St. Paul in Galatians talks about the Holy Spirit in the beautiful verse of the fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things, like the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and love, are the things that we cannot manufacture ourselves. They're gifts from the Holy Spirit that allow us to grow in our relationship with Christ as we abide in him. See, the Holy Spirit always points back to the Son, Jesus. He is the full revelation of the truth. And so, that being said, let's look at what happened on Pentecost. Acts 2 tells us that when the Spirit came, the disciples began speaking in other languages. And people from every nation and tribe and place began to hear and receive the Holy Gospel in their own tongue. And everyone was astonished. Now, this isn't just some cool miracle that happened. It's the turning point in the life of all humanity. Now, to really understand this, we have to go back to Genesis 11, the story of the Tower of Babel. Humanity had the hubris to come together and say to themselves, "Let us build a tower to heaven. Let us go to him. We will not wait on God." And God saw this pride and scattered them by confusing their language. So at this point, they were all doing this under one language. And God saw their pride and scattered them, confusing their language. And that's why we have so many languages today. Now, division, because of this pride, division entered into our world even more. And relationship was broken even further. But on Pentecost, the exact opposite happened. The Holy Spirit does the opposite. He doesn't erase the diversity of humanity. He redeems it. He doesn't flatten culture to this monochrome, like this one giant conglomerate of thing where everyone's not expressing themselves in their own culture. He doesn't do that. He baptizes it. He fills it with divine purpose. So what sin shatters, the Holy Spirit begins to reunite. And not with bricks and towers, and as the King James Version says, slime, but with the universal language of love. The language of God's kingdom. That is what is reuniting us. There is a universal language of love. And this is part of the church's call. Not to erase these differences, but to embrace the unity in the diversity of culture that God has baptized and made new through the Holy Spirit. As St. Augustine says, what the soul is to the body, the Holy Spirit is to the body of Christ. The fire of Pentecost was not a one-off wonder, a one-day thing. The wind didn't die down after Acts 2. The Spirit is still moving, and we're seeing this snowball effect from Pentecost. Shortly after this event, Peter goes out and speaks to the crowds who are in bafflement that these people are babbling in different. They're like, they must be drunk. How do they know all these languages? It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and Peter goes out and says, "We are not drunk. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. And then preaches the Holy Gospel that the Son of Man came down, lived a life as a human, died and rose again in 3 days, and was ascended into heaven. And 3,000 people, 30 minutes to an hour, shortly after this event, 3,000 people came into the church. And the snowball effect, the ball just keeps getting bigger and bigger. 2,000 years later, here we are with 1 billion Christians and the Holy Spirit moving constantly in creative access areas and in people's hearts to renew our lives and to soften and mold us and shape us into his image. The Holy Spirit is still speaking. Wherever someone forgives the unforgivable, the Holy Spirit is there. Wherever someone prays in faith through their pain and suffering, the Holy Spirit is there. Wherever justice is pursued in mercy and grace, the Holy Spirit is there. Wherever the name of Jesus is lifted up with humility and love and proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is active. Brothers and sisters, you and I are not called just to remember Pentecost, but we are called to live it. That is why the church still exists. We are not a museum of moral relics. We are a living body, energized by the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead. And yet, how often does the Holy Spirit find himself neglected? Unfortunately, we often talk about, unfortunately, the Holy Spirit is neglected. Fortunately, we often talk about the Father, and we often talk about the Son. But what about the Holy Spirit? Often it's reduced to some vague movement in our lives or something that goes before us if we think about it at all, but oftentimes it's just a symbol or forgotten altogether. The Holy Spirit is not an it's God Himself. He is a personal, powerful presence in our lives, and He molds and shapes us, and we cannot live the Christian life without Him. And God be praised, we don't have to. So let us start talking about the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you this week to invite Him in, to listen to Him, to start talking to the Holy Spirit. And when you open your Bible, ask, Holy Spirit, teach me. When you're overwhelmed, pray, Holy Spirit, comfort me. When you're tempted to despair, cry out, Holy Spirit, strengthen me. When you feel dry and in desolation, pray, come, Holy Spirit, renew me. In the words of this ancient prayer, let us find ourselves today. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. And you shall renew the face of the earth. Pentecost is not just another holy day. It's a calling. It's a divine invitation from God to live out a Spirit-filled life. A life that's marked by power in God, by truth, in unity, with joy and love. So let us breathe, let the Spirit breathe new life in us today. Let Him make you bold, let Him make you holy, and let Him make you one. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.